Welcome to the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio. We've got a fast-paced hour of fishing, hunting, and conservation covering the nation and the Northwest, including 13 extra minutes of local content you'll only hear on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
I just got back from fish camp in the Columbia River Gorge, and even though you're going to be hearing a best of edition of our national show because of that, we've got fresh audio for you from fish camp that we recorded down there. And at the end of the show, you'll be hearing from Jaime Rodriguez with J-Rod Angling, who's got some great advice about how to catch walleye during the month of September. It's not always easy to do so in the Columbia. We'll also get to talk to Kevin Woody at the end of the show. He's a guide that's based out of Kettle Falls, and he fishes for sturgeon up there. There's a catch-and-keep sturgeon fishery that goes until September 30th at Lake Roosevelt, but he was down fishing for sturgeon and salmon and catching plenty of sturgeon in the Columbia River Gorge, too. He'll tell you how he does it in both places. Some other folks at fish camp were some friends from Sportsman's Warehouse that included Travis Dawson, the fishing department manager at the East Wenatchee store, and Brianna Bruce, our frequent guest, who works at the Everett Sportsman's Warehouse store in the fishing department and is also a guide, the owner of Livin' Life Adventures. She was catching some salmon and sturgeon too. By the way, if you're looking for rods and reels and line and lures and accessories to go after salmon or walleye or sturgeon or just about anything else, you're going to find it at Sportsman's Warehouse. You can always shop online anytime at sportsmans.com or head down to one of the Puget Sound area Sportsman's Warehouse stores in Everett and Federal Way and Puyallup and Silverdale, where you'll find not only fishing gear, but some great deals on hunting accessories too. Everything from firearms to optics to clothing and more. A hunt sale is going on. It's a really good one and you don't want to miss out. Check it out at your Puget Sound area Sportsman's Warehouse store. Now, usually we've got fishing reports for you right now, but we are heading to Mardon Resort at Eastern Washington's Potholes Reservoir, checking in with Pete Fisher at the store there. Pete, you got a lot going on this weekend between the annual dock tournament. I'm sure there's going to be well over 100 anglers fishing there and the Old Farts Bass Fishing Tournament. How's the dock fishing been in the days leading up?
Leading up, it's been fair to good, kind of for about everything that swims under there. The walleye have been a little challenging under there, but trout have been caught. Your crappie, bluegill, even some decent perch showing up under there. And then, of course, the largemouth is always pretty decent this time of year off dock.
Absolutely, and that's the beauty of this dock tournament, folks, is that the biggest fish of each species is a winner. The Old Farts Bass Tournament, folks are going to be out there targeting largemouth, smallmouth. I was going to be in one of those boats until I broke my leg, but I know you pre-fished it. How's it looking?
Numbers were good. Size, I struggled a little bit with. I don't think it was a winning weight, but we did find fish. And depending on what the water level does in the next day or two, that might dictate a little bit. Whether it goes up or down might change things a little bit.
I know water clarity can be an issue this time of year with a lot of that green algae in there. Is that the current condition right now?
Not towards the face of the dunes. They're pretty clear of that. The further you go up Linkooly, the more green it does get.
And what kind of baits do you use in that green water so that the fish can see them?
You can use a chatterbait, that'll help, or any kind of big silhouetted jig or swim jig, something that you want them to see and feel. Typically darker colors, they seem to kind of give off a better silhouette than the lighter ones that'll blend in.
Sure, and of course, you know, if you've got something that's giving off some thump or some rattle or whatever it might be in terms of sound and vibration, that's going to work too.
Bottom line. Exactly, and if you do have a little bit of wind, it's hard to beat a spinnerbait.
Absolutely, can't disagree with that. All right, Pete, we got to go, but have fun this weekend handling all that work. Good luck with the tournament, and don't forget to book your next trip at Mardon Resort, the website to go to, mardonresort.com. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you, John.
That's your first local shot of the outdoors. Now let's see what's going on across the nation.
A seafood bounty is waiting for you on Northwest Oregon's Tillamook Coast. Catch a limit of big salmon, haul up a pot of delicious crab, and dig up a bunch of clams for some hot chowder. Plan your visit today at TillamookCoast.com.
From well-known saltwater hotspots to hidden alpine lakes, learn the latest in tips, tackle, and techniques to help you catch more fish.
It's going to be a great show.
Northwest Fishing Reports, Sundays at 5 p.m. on Q13 Fox.
This is a special best of edition of America Outdoors Radio.
It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
What an adventure. That's a good way to sum up my 2,600-mile road trip to and from Aberdeen, South Dakota last week, where I went pheasant hunting. I know what you're thinking. That's a long ways to go for a few roosters, but trust me, the trip was worth it. It was put together by the fine folks at Pheasants Forever and hosted by the Aberdeen Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. The hunters included Jared Wickland and Anthony Houck from Pheasants Forever, along with their great dogs, and Casey Wisemantle, the executive director of the local CVB, who, by the way, is a crack shot. Also hunting the prairies of South Dakota with us was Emmett Lenahan and Matt Morlock, as well as several members of the outdoors industry and media, to include Andrew McKean, the editor-at-large for Outdoor Life magazine, Matt Soberg, editor of several publications, to include Covey Rise magazine, Paul Smith, the outdoors editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Tom Hansen, the wing shooting product manager for Orvis. I saw more pheasant in 2 days than I've seen in the last 10 years in my home state of Washington. And during our walks amongst the prairie grass, sorghum, and cornrows, we jumped all sorts of other wildlife too, including an astounding number of white-tailed deer, which included a whole bunch of healthy-looking bucks with some decent racks. It was not only a great hunting experience, but a wonderful learning experience, too, about the importance of pheasant hunting to the South Dakota state economy, how farming and conservation practices can improve pheasant hunting and habitat, and how much fun it is to hunt both public and private lands for ringnecks. This week on the show, we'll be talking to four of the people we hunted with in South Dakota. We'll start off with Casey Wisemantle, who will orient you to the pheasant hunting around here and explain just how much this means to the local and state economy. From there, we'll hunt some of the many publicly accessible lands around Aberdeen, and Jared Wickland with Pheasants Forever will share that experience with you. From public lands, we'll head to a private farm and ranch where Eric Johansson, co-owner of Johansson Farms Outfitting, will take us out for an unbelievable afternoon hunt where we'll see hundreds of pheasant and shoot a few of those too. Eric will explain how he and his family turned their farm and ranch into the magnificent pheasant and wildlife habitat that we got to enjoy during our visit, where we hunted nothing but wild birds. That's right, a private operation with no planted birds. Every one of these roosters and hens that we saw, they were flying wild because they were wild. Finally, we'll talk to Matt Morlock, the man in charge when it comes to Pheasants Forever in South Dakota. Matt's going to tell you about how some of the grazing and farming practices implemented by the Johansons, along with enrollment of land into the Federal Conservation Reserve Program, are paying huge dividends for pheasant, wildlife, hunters, and businesses in the area. Better still, Matt will let you know how you can do some of these things in your state too, which will benefit all of the above. And now it's time to take you to Aberdeen, South Dakota, where we are pheasant hunting, and boy, what a pheasant hunting trip we're going to share with you today. With us here to tell you more about it is Casey Wisemantle. He is the executive director of the Aberdeen Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. He's been our host, and Casey, it's been one heck of a ride. Thanks for a great experience.
It's been great having you guys out here. You are exactly right. It's been a great experience. We couldn't ask for anything more.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have fallen in love with Aberdeen. I have fallen in love with South Dakota pheasant hunting. Folks, if it's not on your bucket list and you're a pheasant hunter, you are missing out. You have got to come here. Let's tell folks how popular this place is. I mean, you've got 1,000 hotel rooms, give or take, in town, and you've got about, 28,000 people in this town. How many of them are booked up for pheasant hunting season?
We're booked solid, believe it or not, we are. Pheasant opener is the third Saturday in October, traditionally, and it goes through the end of December. And for that first month, the hotels are booked solid. And it's not only the hunters that are here, it's the hunters and their dogs. Every hotel allows dogs. You have to have that. That's a prerequisite in Aberdeen. But they're booked solid for that first month. Right around Thanksgiving, kind of tapers off a little bit, obviously because of the holiday. But then it picks back up for that late season pheasant hunting. And that's the biggest thing that we try to push, is that late season pheasant hunting. You don't have to be here for pheasant opener, as you saw today.
Oh, yeah.
There are plenty of birds to be had. And pushing that late season pheasant hunting, you have the run of the place all to yourself. And that's where we see that uptick after Thanksgiving.
I want to talk a little bit about Aberdeen itself and the people here, because we're staying at the Best Western Ramcota Hotel. And folks, it's a great hotel to stay at. It's clean. The rooms are spacious. Great breakfast in the morning, hot breakfast. There's a restaurant that serves great food in the evening. There's a little bar there, too. And there's an indoor pool if you're bringing the kids. There's a hot tub if you want to enjoy that. And oh, by the way, the customer service. I absolutely love the people here. And every morning when you're on your way out to hunting, they are going to tell you, good luck on your hunt today. I mean, Hunt Aberdeen's kind of the slogan around here, and you're going to find it all over town. People see you're a hunter. They want you to have a good time. They want you to have success, and they mean it. I've never seen such a hunter-friendly town as Aberdeen, South Dakota.
You're exactly right. That's the biggest thing we pride ourselves on, is our hospitality and our customer service, because we see those hunters that have been coming back year after year, 10, 15, 20, 20-plus years. They're bringing that second, third generation with them to allow them to experience what they've been allowed to enjoy. But you're right, this morning, the gal at the Best Western Ramcota, she was a little mad because she didn't get to see the hunting dogs before we left. She's like, tell those guys to bring their dogs in. I want to pet their dogs. And I'm like, we'll be back later. You can pet them then. But you're exactly right. We are very accommodating. We have to be, because our philosophy is you can go anywhere in South Dakota and have a great time pheasant hunting. We just want you to come to Aberdeen.
Well, and there's a really good reason to come to Aberdeen, and that's because of how much public access is available in the county that Aberdeen is located. I mean, there is tons of public access, as we found out the first day that we were hunting with you.
You're exactly right. Typically, it's kind of a little hidden secret where we're at. Aberdeen is located in Brown County, and Brown County is the third largest population-wise, the third largest county in the state of South Dakota. But as far as birds harvested go, there's only four places that harvest more birds than Brown County itself. And that's South Dakota as a whole, North Dakota as a whole, Minnesota as a whole, and Iowa as a whole, and then there's Brown County. So if you're looking for the spot to go to whittle it down, if you want me to whittle it down for you, you got to come to Aberdeen. There's no other way around it.
Based on all the wild birds we've seen the last 2 days, I couldn't agree more. Let's talk a little bit about limits. What's the daily bag limit, and what's the possession limit for hunters?
Three rooster pheasants a day, and you can possess up to a five-day limit. So you could have 15 birds in your possession. But keep in mind, if you only hunt 2 days, you can only have six birds. Makes sense.
Right.
But yeah, three-day limit and up to a five-day possession limit, 15.
And one other thing that's kind of unusual here that you don't see in all the other states is there's a start time. So early in the season, you don't even get to start pheasant hunting till noon, and then it changes.
We call it a gentleman's hunt. Gives you a little bit of time to enjoy that hospitality in the evening prior, to go out and have partake in the festivities and experience what Aberdeen really has to offer. But you're right. The first 2 weeks, it starts at noon, and it goes till sundown. And then right around that daylight savings time, it switches, and it switches to 10 in the morning until sundown. And as you saw today, we didn't start hunting until, what, 1 o'clock?
Right.
And look at the success we had. To be able to start at noon, let alone 10 o'clock in the morning, that's plenty enough time to go bag some birds.
It is. And you're absolutely right, too, about Aberdeen having a lot to offer. Go to the downtown district, folks. There's some great restaurants. There's some great places to hang out. The Brass Kettle was a big hit. We had some fantastic food there. Again, wonderful customer service. Unfortunately, I could go on and on and on, because like I said, I fall in love with the place, but we got to go. So before we do, let's tell people how they can find out more about Aberdeen, South Dakota, the hunting they have to offer, and book a stay here and plan a trip.
You said it the best. I couldn't agree more. The best selling point we have in Aberdeen is the word of mouth, everybody passing it on. To experience what we have to offer, we have two websites and we have two Facebook pages, both of them the same. Visit AberdeenSD.com is our website and Facebook page, and then HuntFishSD.com is our website and Facebook page. And that HuntFish is geared directly to those sportsmen. We call it, quote-unquote, our one-stop shop for everything you need to do to plan that successful trip, whether it's with a guide or an outfitter, whether it's public hunting on your own or possibly a preserve. Everything is on that website. It's our one-stop resource to plan that trip.
Well, this is a hunting and fishing show, so we are going to huntfishsd.com. That's huntfishsd.com. And, folks, I know I'm coming back. I'm going to be hitting that website as soon as I get back home so I can plan my next trip. And if you're smart, you'll start planning yours right now. Casey, thanks again for a wonderful experience and for sharing it with us on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Ready to step up to a quality-built rifle or shotgun that's a true classic? Check out Henry Repeating Arms, American-made. There's over 200 models to choose from in a variety of finishes and calibers for hunters and target shooters. Many of these are lever-action models with a look right out of the Old West. Don't be deceived, though. Henry Repeating Arms are modern, rugged, accurate, reliable, and have a lifetime guarantee. Find out more and order a free catalog today at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
Fishing and fun. That's what you'll find at Mardon Resort. Come to sunny eastern Washington and bring your RV or rent a cottage, cabin, or room at our newly upgraded resort at the south end of Potholes Reservoir. Get tackle and provisions at our general store. And after you're done fishing, hanging out at our swim beach, or boating for the day, enjoy dinner and a drink at the beach house. Find out more at MardonResort.com. That's MardonResort.com, where the fish bite and we don't.
The Tillamook Coast isn't just about fishing. It's about clamming and crabbing, too. Drop a crab pot into Tillamook Bay or a crab ring off the dock and haul in a bounty of fresh Dungeness crab. You can also head to one of our many bays during low tide to gather a dinner of bay clams that will taste great steamed or in chowder. Find out more about these year-round activities and plan your visit today at TillamookCoast.com. That's TillamookCoast.com, Oregon's best bay clamming and crabbing.
Are you an outfitter, sporting goods retailer, boat dealer, or someone else in the outdoors industry? If you are, you know targeted advertising works best. And what would work better than advertising with America Outdoors Radio? Our hour-long show is heard throughout Seattle, Everett, and the East Side every Saturday morning, and your message will be heard there too. Better still, our rates are way more affordable than you think. Want to find out more? Contact me, John Cruz, through my website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's America Outdoors Radio, bringing you more business.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter, and with over 90 locations, you're sure to find a store near you full of the gear you need to succeed this hunting season. Firearms, ammo, archery equipment, decoys, clothing, boots, and more. You'll find it all at Sportsman's Warehouse. Better still, the knowledgeable staff can help you with tips and frequent in-store seminars, all designed to help you bag a trophy or a limit this hunting season. Find a location near you or shop online today at sportsmanswarehouse.com.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We continue to broadcast from Aberdeen, South Dakota. That's where we're hunting with a group from Pheasants Forever. And with us today to wrap up day one of our hunting on public land and public access lands is Jared Wicklin with Pheasants Forever. Jared, thanks for a great day in the field.
Yeah, how are your legs doing? Mine are a little bit tired still, but we saw a lot of birds today, so that was a good start.
We saw a lot of birds, and me being about 20 years older than you, my legs are probably a little more tired than yours. What are you thinking? We walked 8-9 miles today?
We walked probably 8 to 9 miles, saw a couple hundred birds, you know, but it's late season hunting here in South Dakota. Those birds are jumpy. They're really wily. Without any snow on the ground, they tend to run, and they're concentrated in certain areas of heavy cover next to a food source. And I think we found that out really quick after searching for a few fields, struck out a few times, and then we started focusing on cattails with heavy grass cover, and that's where they were.
Oh, they sure were. And I actually really enjoyed the day. I mean, we ended up knocking down 8 birds. Dogs found 7 of them. Unfortunately, mine was the one that was not found because it ran a long, long ways and was never seen again. But, you know, it was a ton of fun. And I think the star of the show was the habitat and the fact that this habitat really works for growing lots and lots of wild pheasants here in South Dakota. You know, this prairie grass and the different types of grasses and the cattails and the cover it all allows is just a recipe for success. How do farmers afford to go ahead and keep their fields in these conditions? Because they're not growing crops to do so.
Yep, so you hit the nail on the head there, and that habitat is really the key to the pheasant populations that they have here in the pheasant capital. We work exclusively with landowners to try to sign up more acres through their South Dakota's Walk-in Access program. And specifically, some of the areas we were hunting today were enrolled in the Aberdeen Pheasant Coalition coalition properties. And those are properties that Pheasants Forever uses chapter money and money from businesses that are supported by pheasant hunters here in Aberdeen, South Dakota. And that money is used as an incentive to sign up new Conservation Reserve Program acres that pay landowners to take their land out of production for wildlife habitat. And also sign them up as walk-in access acres. So it's kind of a dual access and habitat program that really pays benefits. You know, in the first couple fields we walk, the Aberdeen Pheasant Coalition properties are ideally suited to hatching pheasants. A lot of forbs, wheatgrass. So once we get some really heavy snows, you know, the birds tend to move out of those areas seeking more thermal cover. So and we found that today. You know, we shot a couple birds on Aberdeen Pheasant Coalition properties. And after that, we focused on or Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program that basically protects water quality, so a lot of cattails, a lot of heavy cover next to cornfields, and that seemed to be the recipe for success. But private landowners play a major role in pheasant populations, not just here in South Dakota, but all throughout the United States and pheasant range. Because if you look at the amount of private land ownership in a lot of these big pheasant states, we can't do it without private landowners. And tomorrow, I guess, we're headed to Eric Johansson's farm, Johansson Family Farms, and we're going to take a look at the recipe for success on private lands about hatching pheasants and why it's so important to have private landowners backing us for public side of things.
You're listening to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We're talking to Jared Wicklund with Pheasants Forever about a great hunt that we've enjoyed today around Aberdeen, South Dakota. Getting back to these public access lands, I think it's important for people to know that there's a lot of land out there. And a couple things that stood out for me was the fact that these were all wild birds that we were hunting. We saw a couple hundred wild birds, definitely not all within range because they are wily wild birds and they know how to run at this time of year. But there's just lots of room to roam. And, you know, we didn't even see another hunter. I mean, there was no competition at all for us. I know that's not the way it is the first couple weeks of the year, but you do a late season pheasant hunt out here, you've got lots of fields to choose from with lots of pheasant in them.
Yep, they say about 75% of the hunting that's done, whether it's South Dakota or any of the other pheasant states, is done in the first 3 to 4 weeks of the season. And after that, you do have a lot of areas to roam. And Brown County, right here in the Aberdeen region, this is Brown County, South Dakota, is really known as the pheasant capital for the amount of public land they have. You know, per capita or per acre, square mile, they have more public land here in Brown County, South Dakota, than anywhere in the rest of the pheasant capital here. So there's a lot of opportunity, a lot of wild birds. It's moving around and finding those pockets where the birds haven't been disturbed. But you're right. I saw two other hunters all day, and that was driving in a truck on one of the highways. And we never ran into anybody else. We didn't run into any tracks, you know, in the little bit of snow that was at the parking area. So it just goes to show that late season and hunting in South Dakota can be really good. You know, we've got a bigger group today. We made a little noise. As you saw, we had hundreds of wild pheasants ahead of us bailing out,
right.
You know, and we're trying to get after them. We got a few of them later in the day at kind of a last-ditch effort. But, you know, by and large, there are a lot of birds left here in South Dakota. And with average winter and some good spring weather, we're hoping for another great increase next year in the pheasant capital.
So one other thing I want to broach here, Jared, is pen release birds. I mean, in a state that is literally flush, pun intended, folks, with wild pheasants, why are there pen raised birds that people are hunting in South Dakota?
You do have big operations here, big lodges, big outfitters that bring in corporate groups, lot larger groups. I mean, I'm talking 15 to 25 people at a time. And those with preserve status, they like to put birds out there, especially in a down year or two. When they put birds out, it gives people, it's still a target-rich environment. But by and large, you know, South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks keeps track of all those. The numbers of pen-raised birds that are put out in the landscape are separated out from the wild bird harvest. It's on South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks website. So don't be misled. This is basically an all wild bird state. And, you know, people talk about, oh, people releasing pheasants and whatnot. That's just for the preserves and people that
choose to have that experience over the public access, public lands, wild bird experience, which, frankly,
exactly,
you're going to work harder for.
Exactly. Anybody with a preserve status, you know, they're going to release a few birds. But by and large, this is a wild bird state, and we saw that today. And, you know, when we're walking through a CRP area, we're walking through one of these Aberdeen Coalition properties, and we look ahead and you see, you know, 100 to 200 birds boiling out. Those aren't pen-raised birds. Those are wild-raised South Dakota pheasants. And we saw that today. And just, you know, driving around, and, you know, especially late in the evening when we started our last hunt, I mean, wow, you look at the fields around there, and there's pheasants everywhere.
Yep.
And when we drive up and you slow down just a little bit, those birds are taken off and they're flying towards cover because they're just as wily as any other state. So it was a great experience. We saw a lot of birds, and this really is a hunter, upland hunter's paradise, especially late season. You can have a really good hunt here in South Dakota late season.
I agree completely, folks. We've got lots more of South Dakota pheasant hunting coming your way during this show. But if you want to find out more now, South Dakota and Aberdeen have both done a great job of putting together pamphlets, brochures, and information for you. Just Google Aberdeen, South Dakota. Just Google South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks. And definitely go to pheasantsforever.org. You'll find all sorts of information about hunting in this great state. And if you haven't done so yet, make plans to do so, because this really is the capital, the Mecca, the Shangri-La, the place to be for pheasant hunting in the United States. Jared, looking forward to another great hunt with you tomorrow.
Thanks for coming out. We're going to have a great time at Johansson Farms tomorrow and looking at the private side. And we're going to see plenty of public land roosters along the drive.
Come explore the Dalles in Oregon for outdoors fun. Hike amongst the wildflowers, bike our riverfront trail, or visit the Gorge Discovery Center where you can enjoy a live raptor display, or even check out our National Neon Sign Museum. But don't forget the fishing. We've got salmon, steelhead, bass, walleye, and monster-sized sturgeon waiting just for you. When the day is done, tell those tall tales at one of our wineries, breweries, or restaurants, and plan your next adventure. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
Ready for more local fishing and hunting? You got it. It's the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio, right here on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
For your next local shot of the outdoors, we're talking to Kevin Witte. He's a guide out of Kettle Falls who is down here at Fish Camp in the Columbia River Gorge. And this is a man who knows how to catch sturgeon better than just about anybody I know. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Nice to be here.
So you started off for salmon today, switched over for sturgeon. How'd that go?
The wind was a little hard on salmon, so we switched to sturgeon, got up in a couple of the bays, and hooked into a few fish right out of the gate, and then tried to move downriver, but we were having to sit on anchor with our kicker in reverse to hold all the gear down in the zone.
That is the one thing about the gorge, is that when the weather's beautiful, it's beautiful, but when that wind kicks up, it can be tough fishing. What do you do to catch sturgeon down here this time of year?
A lot of shad and roll mop herring, try to get into some of the deep holes where they're settling, and try to find the current seams to get on them.
Let's talk about that sturgeon fishery that you get to enjoy up at Lake Roosevelt. A lot of folks still don't know that there is a catch-and-keep sturgeon fishery for hatchery sturgeon up there. It's been extended through September 30th this year. I'm sure it's going to happen again next year. Why don't you tell our listeners what that fishery looks like, how you go about that?
Anywhere from about Kettle Falls north to China Bend, and it's a little different than fishing the lower river. We fish a lot of deeper holes, so my typical hole's 70 to 120 feet, anywhere up to 210. Up there, not as much fresh bait. I find better success on pickled bait, such as herring smelt, squid, and it's a little more waiting than down here, but it's a solid fishery.
You know, what's interesting to me that squid, something no sturgeon in the upper Columbia behind Grand Coulee Dam has ever seen in its life, is a great bait.
I think it's just a durable bait that when you pickle it, there's so much biomass in it that it's able to hold that scent, and you're able to fish it a little bit longer without having to do gear changes and keep your gear in the zone a little longer.
Now, I know you can catch and keep one sturgeon a day. There's an annual limit of two, but they have to be a certain size. What is the slot limit from the tip of the nose to the fork of the tail?
50 to 63 inches for retention.
All right, last question. If folks want to book a trip with you, they want to sneak in one last sturgeon trip before the end of the year, or maybe go for a walleye fishing trip after that, or maybe book a sturgeon trip for next year, what's the website they should go to?
Mainly Facebook. It's B&K Fishing Adventures.
That's B&K Fishing Adventures on Facebook. B&K Fishing Adventures on Facebook. For Kevin Witte, if you're after sturgeon, this is a man you want to go with, especially in Northeast Washington. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, John.
You're listening to a special best of edition of America Outdoors Radio.
We're back with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz, and I'll tell you what, I just experienced the best day of pheasant hunting in my life. I'm over 50 years old. I've been on a lot of pheasant hunts, primarily in the northwestern U.S., and I've never seen as many birds as I saw today here in South Dakota. The place I was hunting was Johansen Farms. It's near the little town of Tolstoy, and with me here to tell you more about this spectacular operation is Eric Johansen. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. It was a great day.
Well, Eric, it really was a great day, and I can't thank you enough for hosting us as part of this Pheasants Forever media hunt. Several of us, members of the outdoors media, got to come out here, enjoy your hospitality. I mean, first off, you took the time to explain what you do here, and we're going to get into that in just a minute. But before we do, I want to talk about the hunting, because, I mean, this is a fantastic operation you have here with Johansen Farms Outfitting in terms of giving people a place to stay in South Dakota, feeding them meals if they want meals, and then taking them hunting in some spectacular places for guided hunts, and they're going to see hundreds and hundreds of pheasants, all wild birds. I can't think of anywhere else where you can have this opportunity for an affordable price.
Well, to say we're the only place that has this opportunity, I think would be short-sighted, but what we do is we really focus on the wild bird aspect. South Dakota is known for its pheasant hunting. We're in the type of environment within, especially where we're at and our family farm and operation in the Prairie Pothole region, where when the weather cooperates and you do a few things in a farming or grazing operation for wildlife habitat, you can have just robust pheasant numbers. And being able to offer that to the truly passionate wild bird hunter is something special to us as a family, and we really enjoy doing it.
and you really do it well. And folks, it really all comes down to habitat, habitat, habitat. I mean, again, these are wild birds. This is not a preserve experience, but you have, like you said, a robust, I mean, robust population of wild pheasant and all sorts of other game that people are going to see out here too, including a ton of white-tailed deer. Let's talk a little bit about how you made this happen, because you've got this pheasant hunting operation, but it's actually a byproduct of your daily living, which is ranching and farming, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, we're a family farm operation. We're a real, true working farm and ranch. Farm a diverse mix of crops, small grains all the way up to fall row crops, such as corn and soybeans. And then we also run a beef cow herd and, you know, raise what we really hope and we strive every day to be some of the best beef out there for the consumer. So that's the key. By doing all the things right with the environment, maximizing our production in the area where we're at, taking care of our native prairie on our ag land using a no-till farming system that works well for us to conserve moisture because we're all dry land farming, the benefits of that, not only on the ag production side are great, but you have another benefit that most people don't realize, and you have a lot of habitat for ground nesting birds. And in South Dakota, pheasant is the king. And we just have the type of climate, and as long as you have the habitat for them and Mother Nature cooperates a little bit, they kind of take care of themselves. So,
the habitat we were hunting today was sorghum, was corn, was, you know, basically prairie grass, fairly high prairie grass that was out there. And it all offered good cover, especially in these colder months that we're hunting in right now. But like you explained earlier in the day, it's not what we're looking at now that makes this such a great pheasant hunting spot. It's what happens in the spring, and it's how you farm, and it's these native prairie grasses, and it's how you graze that allows basically these birds to nest, these birds to have cover, and then get to the point where we can hunt them now.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking wild birds, it all comes down to nesting conditions and brood rearing conditions, and you have to have the habitat for them. And through our rotational graze system, when we rotational graze all our native prairie systems, limiting access to the cattle to certain areas and limiting the time and the pressure, what we're doing is we're bringing that native prairie back to the way it was when the buffalo roamed on it. We're bringing all these wildflowers and forbs back into the system that are naturally occurring, but unless you can control the grazing pressure and disrupt the grazing pressure a little bit, what you can do in a rotational grazing system, it's hard to get that back on a lot of this native prairie that maybe been overgrazed or just grazed in a wrong way for so long before people really knew the benefits to it. And you get that diverse plant species back on the grasslands. The soil in the grasslands improve because you got the symbiotic relationship between your native flowering forbs and your warm and cool season grasses. And that's great for beef production because you got more grass out there, but an added benefit is it's just phenomenal bird nesting habitat. And as long as the weather cooperates, you can just have great nesting conditions and chick survivability rates for the young birds.
Well, you're doing something really right here. And again, the opportunity to hunt wild birds to me is just so much more fulfilling than what you're going to find at a lot of preserves. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of great preserves out there. There's a lot of great lodges that, you know, take great care to give you a great experience. But to me, the ultimate is hunting wild pheasant. And seeing as many as I did today was just an off-the-charts wonderful experience. Let's talk about what a trip with you looks like in terms of people are going to book a trip. You know, is it usually, what, 2 or 3 days of hunting and getting here and staying an extra night?
Yeah, we kind of set it up almost on an a la carte basis, so individuals and groups can decide whether they want to hunt 2 days, a three-night stay, or three days. Most popular is probably 3 days of hunting, 4 nights lodging, just to make the most out of your trip if you're traveling from a long way so you can actually enjoy the experience and not feel rushed. And everything we do is obviously wild birds. It's guided with dogs or your own. And we don't mix groups. So if you come with your group of 3 to 10 people, the only people you're going to be hunting with is that group. And if you have a group of more than 6 people, 6 to 10, you're going to be the only group on the property during your hunt. And, you know, we focus on the small group, not the big corporate stuff, which is perfectly fine, but our focus is on a little more personable experience. And so keeping that group size down to 10 or less seems to be the best way to do that.
And the other thing I really want to hammer on here is, again, there's a lot of great lodges out there where you can go hunting, folks, whether it's for ducks or pheasant or quail. But your price point doesn't break the bank. I mean, this is affordable for a working class family or just a bunch of guys who want to get together for a bucket list hunt here in South Dakota.
Yeah, and our whole purpose for starting the wild bird hunts almost 17 years ago on our family farm and ranch was to produce some income to take care of some more projects we wanted to do in our operation that's going to benefit the wildlife, not only the farming and ranching operation, but also the wildlife. So we wanted to make sure that what we were providing was affordable to your average working class man. And all they have to do is save a little bit of money throughout the year. They can come have a great hunt and do it, you know, relatively affordable.
Here's the bottom line. This is a popular place, and they don't have a lot of room. They got one place for you to stay. You only have, as you heard, one group at a time if you've got a group of six or more. So you're going to want to go to their website. It's johansenfarms.com. I'm going to spell that for you. JohansenFarms.com. That's JohansenFarms.com for Johansen Farms Outfitting. You can also find them on Facebook. Again, that's just Johansen Farms Outfitting. Look for them on Facebook or on their website. If you are looking for a great experience with a family-run business, fun guides to hunt with, great dogs to hunt with, wonderful habitat to hunt, and lots and lots and lots of wild pheasant, I don't think you're going to beat this. Again, it's johansenfarms.com for Johansen Farms Outfitting. Go ahead and check it out. Consider a trip to South Dakota. I know I plan on coming back. Thanks again for a great day in the field, Eric.
Thank you. Pleasure having you.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
Ready to step up to a quality-built rifle or shotgun that's a true classic? Check out Henry Repeating Arms, American-made. There's over 200 models to choose from in a variety of finishes and calibers for hunters and target shooters. Many of these are lever-action models with a look right out of the Old West. Don't be deceived, though. Henry Repeating Arms are modern, rugged, accurate, reliable, and have a lifetime guarantee. Find out more and order a free catalog today at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.
We love our children. We protect them. We guide them. We prepare them for life in the world. With all that we do from deep in our hearts, we cannot control all things. Life-threatening illnesses and disabilities affect far too many of our children each year. While we cannot change the circumstances, we can make dreams come true. Dreams to provide hope, to provide spiritual healing and strength, to provide moments of happiness and relief in the darkest of times. We can give a glimmer of light and hope in a time of darkness and despair. Join huntofalifetime.org to help make dreams come true, to provide hope for children with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Hunt of a Lifetime is a nonprofit organization fulfilling dreams for hunting and fishing trips to youth 21 and under with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Visit huntofalifetime.org to learn how you can make a difference. That's huntofalifetime.org.
Hey, how'd the meeting go with Tommy's school counselor today?
Well, not exactly as planned. I think we need help.
Help? Why do we need help?
Well, I asked her about paying for college, and she said that's not something they do.
Maybe it is time to get some help. Even if Tommy just goes to state college, it's going to cost at least $25,000 a year. We'll have to raid our retirement and pay for Tommy's tuition. There's got to be a better way.
There is a better way. A way where you can pay less for college or even receive college tuition free, regardless of your income or your students' grades. A way for you to keep your hard-earned income and savings for your future and spend less on college while virtually eliminating the need for student loans. Get the facts about college admissions and tuition by going to tuitionprograms.org. That's tuitionprograms.org. tuitionprograms.org. Get the facts about college admissions and tuition by going to tuitionprograms.org.
Campers, adventure seekers, hunters, and foodies. No matter the lifestyle, we can all agree on one thing. Great food and great people are worth remembering. At Camp Chef, we don't just make grills. We create each product knowing that a warm meal is always better when it's shared with those we love. Learn more about Camp Chef grills, smokers, and portable cooking equipment at campchef.com. That's campchef.com for a better way to cook outdoors.
Next up on America Outdoors Radio, we're going to tie this show together to talk a little bit about pheasants and how other states can see some of the benefits that South Dakota and the people that come here are seeing. And the person we're going to talk to is Matt Morlock. He is the state coordinator for Pheasants Forever here. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited about this.
So, Matt, I want to put this in perspective. I live in Washington State, and 30 years ago, we had really good pheasant hunting. Now we don't. And I think one of the main reasons why is loss of habitat and agricultural practices. You have farmers that will cut alfalfa several times during the growing season, especially when nesting is happening. You will have the way that they're cutting be an issue as well. And I just wanted to talk about some best practices for farmers that you encourage people to do here in South Dakota that farmers all over the nation can institute to see better returns on wildlife.
Perfect. And that's something that's a misnomenclature. A lot of times people think production agriculture, wildlife can't coexist, can't be in harmony and work together. And we're learning a lot as we go in the agricultural world, the soil health movement. And that's not the case, we find. A lot of times we can increase actually the production on the agricultural side while providing better wildlife habitat through some simple changes.
Well, let's talk about some of those simple changes. And let's start off with the simplest of all, how you cut your hay.
Yeah, and that's a no-cost way to do that. Traditionally, we like to cut alfalfa fields or hay fields, grass fields. We'll just go in a circle around the edge. It's quick, it's easy, it's efficient.
But what does that do to the birds and the wildlife that's using this area for nesting habitat and for cover?
So what it does is it keeps moving those birds especially, but deer and everything, they want to stay in the tall cover because they're threatened at that point. They're trying to keep some cover over their head. So they just keep moving in the middle more and more and congregating in the middle. If we change that pattern a little bit and just cut either back and forth from one end to another end, or, you know, take a cut out of the middle and then work outward to the edges on both sides of the field, you're allowing that pheasant or deer or whatever it is, grouse, to move, just slowly move with that, the cutting ahead or the path ahead. They'll just slowly move themselves out of the end, and they'll just, you won't even see them. You won't flush them. They just slowly move out of the way. And it gives them that opportunity where with the traditional just going around the edges, they don't have that opportunity to ever get out or feel safe to get out. Then they wait till the end, and then, you know, we know what happens at that point.
Right. No more pheasant, no more grouse, and sometimes even no more deer.
Yep.
So, again, that's a really simple thing. Timing when it comes to cutting hay, because, you know, there is a nesting season for these birds, and a lot of times farmers will cut their hay thinking this is when I get the best money for my product, right in the middle of that nesting season. But they don't have to do that, do they?
No, you still can. You know, some of the new varieties of alfalfa, or, you know, some of the new research on protein content and stuff like that, is it hangs on longer than we think. So you can delay that hanging even like a week or couple days. It gives that chick a chance to be stronger, or that hen to hatch that chick, or that fawn to be able to get out of the way. And just delaying a few days here and there can make a big difference also. And it's, you know, like I said, the genetics in alfalfa is changing. It's holding that forage quality a lot longer. So just some little changes in variety even can help out with that too, and allow you to get the same tonnage, get the same quality, but just not as frequent.
You know, Eric Johansson here with Johansson Family Farms and Johansson's Farms Outfitting gave an excellent presentation about the sustainable farming they do, where they manage to take care of cattle, where they manage to take care of crops, and as a byproduct, they're producing some great habitat for pheasant and white-tailed deer and other species too. You know, does that translate to other states? Does that translate to other places where farmers can institute this or not?
Definitely. And in fact, where the Johansons are at is probably one of the toughest places to do it. We don't get a lot of rainfall. We have very sandy, gravelly soils, not a lot of organic matter in it. So they're doing it in probably the hardest area to do it. It's very relatable outside of the area. And that's just, you got to look at it as a system. You're not trying to make the most dollar in a given year. You're looking at a 10-year. And you're going to produce more. You're going to make more money over a 10-year period by switching a few things around, cover crops, building your soil health, then you're going to make year to year. And that's, you know, in the long term, we see it as a better way to do it, a more beneficial way. And heck, we get a lot of wildlife out of it, too, out of that way.
Something else that was really interesting to me, too, was rotating grazing. Instead of having static grazing, where cattle are literally chewing everything to the ground and leaving nothing left, that's got huge benefits for birds and other wildlife, doesn't it?
It does. Leaving some sandy cover in those fields that are producing your livestock is just another benefit. You know, we focus on CRP and things like that as where we produce our wildlife, but in actuality, rotational grazing and stuff makes those pasture lands also produce wildlife. But the other thing is when you're rotating and you're resting your pastures, it's building a root structure, which makes that grass and the forbs and legumes in there more sustainable in droughts, which increases your beef production also. So that's another small change you can make. You have to do a little bit more work, so you have to move the cattle, but labor-wise, there's an increase, but for as far as cost, there's really not a big increase. And you're going to get better beef production for your livestock and your pocketbook, but you're also going to get a bigger production of wildlife off that.
And better drought protection, too, for your crops. So, and you really put it well a few minutes ago when you said, you know, a lot of farmers, they live from peaks to valleys, and you have farmers come into the game when prices are high and life is good and there's lots of rain and the crops are growing, but then when those valleys hit and those droughts, they're going away, and we're losing farmers, and we're losing farmland. But if we can find a model, like we're talking about here, for sustainable farming, you're going to keep those farmlands, you're going to have better wildlife habitat, and it's a win-win, both for the ag community and for conservationists and for hunters as well.
Right, exactly, and also Main Street, these small communities that we all love. If we can get to a sustainable, stable area or, you know, economic model, we don't lose those small family farms and that heritage and everything that goes along with that. You know, that heritage is, it's just vital to America, and we don't want to lose that.
I agree completely. We have got to go. But if farmers and people want to find out more about what we're talking about here, is Pheasants Forever a good place to start?
It is. We can link you to whether it's through our network of farm bureau biologists or private land staff or a commodity group. We like to look at us as that linchpin to all that so we can get you connected wherever you need to be.
All right. So the national site is pheasantsforever.org. Or if you want to really dial in and maybe even talk to Matt Morlock himself, just go to sdpheasantsforever.org. That's sdpheasantsforever.org for Pheasants Forever in South Dakota. Matt, thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks for having me.
We're running short on time, but if you want to hear this episode again, we'll have it uploaded for you in just a couple of days. Three different platforms. You can catch us on Stitcher and Podbean. Just look for America Outdoors Radio or go to our YouTube channel. That's Northwestern Outdoors. That's one word. And you can hear this show and segments from our sister show, Northwestern Outdoors Radio. Our thanks again go out to Jared Wickland and Anthony Houck for the invite to participate in this grand adventure in South Dakota. I'd also like to thank the folks at the Best Western Ramcota Inn in Aberdeen, a very hunter and dog-friendly hotel with wonderful staff, a great restaurant, and a bar I'd highly recommend. The Elks Lodge in Aberdeen, as well as Jay Hill, a fabulous local chef who does wonders with pheasant. And of course, I've got to thank our gracious host, Casey Wisemantle, with the Aberdeen Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. You can start planning your trip to the area by going to huntfishsd.com. I hope you learned a little about pheasant, habitat, changes in farming and grazing practices, and how combining these in your state can result in more wildlife, better hunting, and a better economy. And in case you haven't figured it out, Pheasants Forever is the leading organization when it comes to all of this. I'm a member, and I hope you'll consider joining as well. You can find out more and sign up now at pheasantsforever.org. We've got to go, but I do hope you are blessed in the days ahead, and I also hope a walk with a dog searching for some ringnecks, whether it be near Aberdeen, South Dakota, or in a field near your hometown, is in your future. Remember, it is your country and your outdoors.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand public access to the outdoors. Our outdoor heritage depends on sportsmen and women like you speaking up for the natural resources that sustain our way of life. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org and become a BHA member today.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
I'm Bob Loomis, and I fish for walleye. Sometimes when I'm out on the water, I feel like a destroyer captain hunting for targets with my electronics. I'm not hunting submarines, though. I'm hunting fish, and when I find that big one on the fish finder, I want to make sure she's going to bite. That's where the SmileBlade Slow Death Rig from Max Lure comes in. The SmileBlade spins and flashes at ultra-slow speeds, and the one-of-a-kind red hook keeps that bait moving in a way the fish can't resist. It's the SmileBlade Slow Death Rig. You're the destroyer. This is your depth charge. Only from Max Lure.
Don't leave yet. We've got one more local shot of fishing and hunting to wrap up the Pacific Northwest edition of America Outdoors Radio.
It's that time again. It's time for another extended Max Minute. And with us again is Jaime Rodriguez, the man behind J-Rod Angling. Jaime, great to have you back on the air.
Always great to be back with you, John.
Let's talk about September walleye fishing in the Columbia River. Your stomping ground is the Columbia between Tri-Cities and John Day Dam, and this is a month that's notoriously tough when it comes to triggering walleye bites because the river is just chock full of these shad smolt, and the walleye are pretty well gorged. What do you do to try to get them to strike?
John, if you recall fishing with me last September at a fish camp, we didn't do very good at all during the day. But I'll tell you what, when I left fish camp, I just didn't go straight home. I went to the river. And by this time, the sun has fallen, the stars are out, and I'm out there catching my limit of walleye. So I'm going to be targeting more of afternoon trips when the walleye are feeding actively.
So we were just fishing too early, and I think that's what most people do. Everyone's used to fishing the morning, especially on the Columbia River where that wind kicks up. But if you can get out there in the late afternoon or evening, you can go ahead and get to the bite. What do you like to use at this time of year?
Right now, if I'm going to be out there targeting my afternoon trips, I'm probably going to be throwing on a big old crankbait, something that's going to get down to the strike zone and targeting certain depths in the water column.
How deep are you fishing? What color do you like to use?
Right now, it's not so much about color. It's more about vibration and action. It's always good to have an array of crankbaits. But once you do dial in a program with your color, then you can start switching out colors and whatnot. But the walleye are going to respond more to action as opposed to color. And I'm anywhere between 16 to 23 feet in the afternoon bite.
When it comes to September, consider going fishing a little later in the day or maybe in the early evening. Tie on a crankbait, get it down deep, and get ready to reel in some walleye. If you want to find out more about fishing with Jaime Rodriguez, check out his Facebook page at J-Rod Angling. He's always posting pictures of what he's catching there and sometimes the lures that he's using too. Thanks again, Jaime.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's all for this week, but don't worry. We'll do it all again next Saturday morning from 7 to 8, right here on Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.